Welcome to the Wealth Matters Podcast, where investors come together to better understand how to build passive cash flow and create generational wealth without all the confusing mumbo-jumbo. Here's your host and co-author of Amazon number one bestseller, Alpesh Pamar.
Welcome to Wealth Matters Podcast. I am going to talk to Mr. Justin Moy today. Justin is a sales professional turned real estate investor, and actually he syndicates apartments and is based out of Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome, Justin, to the show.
Alpesh, man, I'm excited to be here. This is exciting for me.
Thank you. So, Justin, we start with this particular question with everyone so that we start on a lighter note. Yeah. Tell us something interesting or funny about yourself.
Yeah. Oh, man. Interesting. I'm going to say this is interesting because most of your listeners probably love podcasts. I love producing podcasts. It's actually one of my favorite parts of the day. I know guys like us, we can talk about real estate all day.
Right.
You know, our friends and family get sick of it. So, man, I'm going to go start a podcast. So, you know, our show, Passive Real Estate Strategies, I love doing that. That's like a thing that I geek out on. And personally, I actually do jiu-jitsu competitively. So competitive guy. I used to do some Muay Thai. I got sick of getting kicked in the ribs all the time. And so went with the lower impact sports. And that's, you know, work and the podcast and jiu-jitsu kind of keep me busy. That's pretty much most of my day.
Oh, that's awesome. So, and this is a wealth building show. We, of course, talk about a lot of ways to invest in alternative assets. So what was your first investment and how did it work out for you?
Yeah, man, you know, my first investment was actually a 40-unit apartment building. So wow. I jumped in pretty big. Just started at it, you know, had a go big mindset. And that was a property, you know, I think like most first-time investments, it's rocky, right? It's rocky. Yes. We didn't syndicate it, so we didn't take on investor money. It was a really, really phenomenal deal. It still worked out incredibly well to the tune of about doubling our investments within about 2 years, 3 years. So the deal still went very well, but it could have gone even better. If we were a little bit more seasoned, probably if we would have brought some partners on to kind of share the equity, but also guide us along the way. So that was my first real estate investment. But really what I tell a lot of people is my first investment was in myself. The only way I was able to jump into that 40-unit building is because I had spent money on coaching programs, mentoring programs, on networking events so I could meet the right partners for these types of things. You know, I truly believe that the asset that has the biggest return on investment by far is always you, your yes. network, your knowledge.
Oh, that's awesome. So what kind of assets do you invest in now?
Yeah. So, you know, we're residential people. We've been market rate multifamily the past, you know, 5 years or so. And, you know, we've sort of pumped the brakes on market rate multi. I think, you know, a lot of people in the space are seeing still not quite the yield that we would like to see while holding our underwriting standards. And that's in a lot of places. Now, there's still people doing deals. There's still operators doing good deals and there's still good deals to be had. But for us, we're still looking at opportunities. But what we really found a lot of great opportunity in is actually in short-term rentals. So right now we're running a fund for short-term rental operators and their returns are just crushing it. So for now, we're getting a little bit fancy looking at short-term and short-term rentals, but really we're market rate multifamily people. I think we might expand into some LIHTC in the future, some low-income housing tax credit. But for now, short-term rentals and market rate is taking up all of our time.
Oh, that's awesome. Because yeah, even we started raising capital for short-term rentals end of last year. And so far, I like the returns and I like the industry as well. And the point is to diversify, right? Even in real estate, when we talk about real estate, there are so many ways for us to invest from single family to multifamily, short-term rental. My group focuses more on mobile home parks and senior housing facilities. And now we started dabbling into retail and short-term rentals.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's huge. That's what's so cool about this industry is you can diversify in asset class and price
market
location. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I mean, so much you can't go wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time you think you kind of have a good grasp of your portfolio, you're like, oh my God, that asset class sounds
right.
Really good. This market's up and coming now. We got to go over there. So it's like an endless rabbit hole that you can
do. Oh, that's awesome. So can you share your story? Because I understood that you come from sales background. Then how and why did you jump into real estate?
Yeah. So one thing that I knew kind of working throughout high school is I always had these retail jobs that were like retail sales jobs. Okay. I sold workout equipment. I sold home gyms. I sold supplements at GNC, at the mall, the Pleasanton Mall.
Hey, funny. I have sold at GNC as well.
Supplements
about 20 years ago.
Yeah, I'm sure not much has changed, but I sold, you know, so me and you are from about the same area.
Right.
The Stone Ridge Mall on Pleasanton.
Yes, of course.
And one thing that was common was I was always number one in any role that I had, like in the country. It was just weird. And I wasn't really doing my best, right? I was a high school kid. I didn't really care. You know, I was doing whatever to get through the day. But I started noticing every one of these retail jobs, like I was the top guy. I was the top guy every month. My numbers were the best ones. I was making the most commissions. I was making more on my commission than I was my hourly there, which is kind of rare for, you know, a 16, 17 year old kid.
Right.
And so I started really looking into this, and my mother had always said, yes, you know, you're very social. You're more social than some other kids might be. And I think that kind of predisposes you to have a little bit of an advantage in a sales
right.
role, where you're not really nervous in front of other people.
Yeah, you got to be an extrovert, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's good to be that. And I decided to look into that because one thing that I also knew about myself is I really didn't like school. And I didn't want to go to college. I ended up going to college, you know, in the future, but I really wanted to look for ways that I could make a lot of money right away, right out of high school. And so real estate agents back, you know, where we're from, they make great money if they're successful.
Yes, of course.
You know, yeah, the East Bay area of California. And so at the time, this was, again, about 10 years ago, it was the third most competitive market in the country.
Yes.
And I'm sure it's still up there.
I think it is still now.
Yeah, it's got to still be up there. You know, it was like, you know, New York, LA, then like the East Bay or San Francisco Bay Area. So it was crazy. And I did that. And I was really good at it after I started getting into a rhythm. So it took me about 6 months to get my first sale. But really after that, things just started rolling for me one after the other. And one thing that I noticed is I was very transactionally rich, but I was not time wealthy. To be that high performing salesperson, there's a little bit of entrepreneurial creep. I started to get the feeling like, man, this career could really weigh on me. I'm working a ton. You know, I'm sacrificing my physical health, my mental health, my personal relationships. You know, I'm not making time for myself to go to the gym or to sit down with my girlfriend and do these things. So I decided, you know, I need to do something else. And when I was selling to real estate investors, I was selling their properties, helping them buy their next property. Man, they were on boats. They were in Japan. You know, they're like, oh, I'll sign those when I get back into the Wi-Fi.
Right.
You know, I'm in Brazil for a week. I'm vacationing. Like, they were just doing all this really cool stuff. I was like, man, I want to do that. I want to own. So that's what really brought me into the investment side of the business was first thing is locational flexibility. You know, I can move and live anywhere that I want. But second was just building something for the future where I'm not just going to cash a paycheck right now. I'm going to cash right now and then also in the future as well for us and our investors. And that's something that I really, really love about this space and really want to maybe do the transition.
That's awesome. So, and we spoke about this, right? Why have you seen sales professionals or sales roles build financial freedom faster than other professionals?
Yeah, you know, where I grew up, you know, we didn't grow up in this very highly specialized, like educational background. You know, I'm the first person in my family to go to college. So to us, when I was growing up, those careers, like the engineers, the doctors, the lawyers, like that felt so far out of reach. And those are really like when you think of high earning professionals, that's kind of what you think of right away. And, you know, me in my mindset when I was young, that was just not on the table for me. Again, I know thinking back that that's incorrect to think that way, but that's just the way I grew up. I kind of grew up in that scarcity mindset. I kind of grew up thinking, hey, I can't do those things. And because I thought that way, it became true. And I limited myself in that way. So when I was looking at my options, you know, my options were to graduate high school or college, go a typical route, climb a corporate ladder. Maybe you're going to make $50,000 out of college. Next year, you might get a 3% raise and 3% raise and 3% raise. And then you really start to do that math and you're like, yeah, man, it's going to take some time. I mean, inflation's 8% last year and many people didn't get raises. They actually got laid off a lot.
Yes.
So, you know, you're working that math and it's a daunting journey to look at the average salary in America and think, okay, when am I going to be able to start investing and start really getting compounding interest working for me? And it's a long journey. But in a sales role, man, you have an unlimited potential. And the harder you work, the more you make. The smarter you become, the more you make. The better you are at your systems and processes and being efficient and investing in your own knowledge and education, the more you make. So I wanted that. I wanted to get paid what I was worth, and I wanted to have an expedited path to making more money than the average person in my stage of life.
Oh, that's awesome. So, and we wanted to talk about this advanced sales strategies. And I don't come from sales background. Of course, being in the Bay Area, you know that I come from IT world, right?
Yeah.
The high tech and whatnot. So how can someone or people who don't like sales, how can they benefit from this? Or what kind of strategies they can use or techniques?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I would say is, and I talk about sales a lot on podcasts, and you know, the first thing that I can almost hear is the person listening going, oh my God, well, I don't like sales. So what do I do? And the thing I would say to that is, most of the time, it's not that people don't like sales, it's that we don't like things that we're not good at. And naturally, a lot of people just are not out of the gate good at sales. And even me, even though I was in the top of retail sales, you know, when I got into the real estate world and I was really selling with other professionals, I was hot garbage. I was bad. I was not good at all. I really had to refine that skill. So, you know, my advice to that person is, if you don't work on it, you won't get better at it. And when you get better at it and you get really good at it, you learn like it. You know, I would always ask people, well, would you hate sales if every single year you were the top salesman or woman? You won all the trips, you won all the awards, you had all the trophies, you were always in the Century Club, you know, you're always getting recognized. You know, would you still hate it then? And most people say, no, that actually sounds really nice. Okay, so it's right. Not sales you don't like, it's that you're not at that level, but you can get at that level if you train. But if you don't like sales, you know, to me, I always feel if you're in a role where you're not making as much money as you can be or you should be, look for other sources to divest. Are there side hustles that you really like? Are there online stores that you can open? Anything that you could do after hours, even just a couple of an hour or two a night, just to get you ahead. Right. Sometimes you don't need this massive, massive raise or massive influx of cash to make a difference. You just need a little bit more. And if you're able to be disciplined in how you spend, that little bit more goes a really long way. And after a year or 2 years or 3 years, you are like leaps and bounds ahead of where you were if you didn't have something else working for you. So if you don't like sales, that's totally fine. I think it's a little bit of a limiting belief. I think anybody can get good at sales.
Right.
But look for some other way that you can add, you know, a little cherry on top of what you're currently bringing home.
That's great. And what are these advanced sales techniques or strategies you talk about?
Yeah. So one of the most advanced techniques in sales that I love to speak about is actually called neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP.
NLP, huh?
Yeah, NLP. So I'm a really big believer in NLP, and really, without getting into so much of the subconscious sciences of it, it is essentially the teachings of how you talk and the words you use and how they influence emotions. Now, a lot of people have heard the phrase, you know, people, we make decisions emotionally and then we justify with logic, right? If you want the car, if you have a car in mind that you're going to get, you're going to look for reasons why that car suits your lifestyle, even beyond the logic. So when people are talking with people and you're talking with people and you're using certain words, you are instigating on a subconscious level certain emotions. So I'll give you an example. One of these words that's we call weak words is try. So I'll say something like, if you were one of my potential investors and I said, yeah, this is a really good opportunity. We're going to try to give distributions quarterly. Right. I mean, it's subjectively not a difference really for me saying, hey, we get quarterly distributions. Right. But just inserting one or two of those weak words in there, even if you don't really consciously pick up on it, something goes off. Right. There's something, your gut starts to tell you something. Yes. You don't really, I don't really trust this person. So a lot of times we use weak words like that. Things like try or sort of, or yeah, like, or, you know, we kind of have these hymns or these haws that we do that just instill a certain sense of non-confidence in people. And so when you're talking, when you're selling, when you're portraying any idea to somebody, you really want to use strong language, strong and confident language, because it sounds like such a small deal. But when people make most of their decisions emotionally, and emotions are elicited on a subconscious level, these have enormous impacts on how you'll actually produce at these roles, or how people will actually perceive you as a person.
Got it. No, that's very interesting. I didn't know that even salespeople look at NLP.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the only time I looked at it was because I was looking up my sales game because I really needed it. So it's really the study of language and how it elicits emotions. And that's a huge thing in sales. You gotta, you know, very rarely people remember what you say, but they always remember how you made them feel. And NLP is a part of that.
And what have you learned from your life as a salesperson?
Man, a couple things that I've learned, you know, one is education isn't something that you do. It isn't something that you did. It's something that you do. You got to stay educated. Even sales tactics change. There's life cycle of sales. You know, if you look at old sales training videos from like generations ago, you'd roll your eyes and go, oh my God, that would never work today. And it's true because these type of tactics evolve and the way that people perceive different things evolve. So education, always looking at your education. And second, I would say the biggest thing is you have to position yourself to succeed throughout your day. When I got into sales and you really start to get paid for your production, not just for showing up, you really look at your day and in ways that you can optimize it. But if you're kind of an hourly worker, I remember working hourly jobs. I didn't care. I'd show up when, you know, whenever I show up, whatever I do during the hours, fine. I'm getting paid the same anyways. But when you're paid for production, you really look to trim the fat on your day. How can I get rid of the low tasks that are not that important? How can I focus on the 20% of things that give me the 80% of the results? So it really shifts your perspective on how you spend your time, how you spend your day, and what tasks are most important to you. So I say those are two really good ones that a lot of people who I talk to, I really tell them to focus on.
That is very interesting. And how did you apply those learnings to syndicating?
Yeah, you know, I'm in the camp of people that truly believes everybody's in sales. It's just whether you're conscious about it, or consciously good at it, or if you're unconscious of it and just bad at it, honestly. So when we're talking to investors or when we're talking to brokers looking for deals, you know, really in a way we're selling. I'm selling the broker on the idea of giving me this deal first and letting me look at it. And then once it is presented, going for my offer. When it comes to investors, I'm really selling them on the idea that, hey, we're the group to execute on this. We're the team to execute on this. This is why. So really understanding that sales at a very, very basic level is dealing with people and how people react to things and how people feel about things. And if you truly believe, you know, one thing that I'm so passionate about talking to real estate investors and potential investors and about this field is because I truly, truly believe with all my heart that this is something enormous that everybody should be involved in. Everybody should LP in real estate, in my opinion, in some facet, whether it's a REIT, a fund, a syndication, like you should just get started. So when you're truly passionate about the thing that you're talking about or selling, to me, it's an obligation for me. Like I need to come out here and spread the word. I need to go out there and let you know why this could be a good investment for you and the impact it could have on your life. So I really love being able to take the learnings that I've had there and help people get comfortable with maybe a foreign investment to them and really put them at ease for it, really make them feel good about this path to financial freedom for them, and then encourage them along the way to do that. So really sales and my experience in sales has helped me in every facet of my life, especially dealing with syndications and investors and brokers and everybody in this business.
That is amazing. Anything else we didn't discuss about the sales strategies or advanced techniques?
Man, I know it's a time limited podcast, so we could talk sales all day. But those are really the big ones. I think, you know, if you are looking to get into sales, I don't have courses or anything like that. I like The Way of the Wolf as a book. So if you're listening and you're kind of interested in sales or you want to learn a little bit more about it, Way of the Wolf is Jordan Belfort's book, which I think has been the best.
That's a great book and great movie too.
Yeah, great movie as well. That's why I read the book. It was nothing like the movie, but yeah, it's a phenomenal book. I think that's a really good first step if this is something you want to dive into.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Justin, for sharing all these golden nuggets. Are you ready for fire round?
I'm ready for fire round. Hit me with it.
Would you be changing business or investment strategy because of the current environment? You know, it's inflationary. Inflation is slowly going down, but then recession is looming around the corner.
So, I mean, I guess we kind of already have, just going from market rate to short-term rentals. And also, we do think there's a big opportunity in LIHTC. Another asset class is just another little nugget that I'm excited about is data centers. So I don't know if you seem like the kind of guy who might know a little bit more about that than
course.
Me. But man, that asset class really interests me personally. So, you know, we're getting fancy in there. I have shiny object syndrome, so I have
me
to put
too.
A limit on myself. Yeah. So, you know, if I'm still interested in data centers by like the end of June, I'll pursue it more, but I have to put this like filter on myself.
Right.
So I think there will be changes. I don't think you're going to make a grand overhaul of anything, but there's some asset classes that are up and coming that I think more people are going to pay attention to in the next few years.
That's awesome. Favorite nonfiction book? It could be self-help, investment, business.
Yeah. So I do a lot of self-help. So I'm probably going to say Atomic Habits.
Yeah. There's actually James Clear.
Yeah. James Clear. So there's been studies that determine a majority, meaning over half, a majority of the decisions you make are actually habits that you make. And you don't really realize it. So I think if you change your habits, you change the trajectory of your life. And that book goes into all the different studies, all the different ways that you can change your habits for the better. So that's going to be, I think, one of the first books that I ever really read that was self-help. And it just immediately clicked for me. So I love that, Atomic Habits.
That's great. Any tool or website you recommend or you cannot live without?
I would say ActiveCampaign. So if anybody doesn't know, ActiveCampaign is a CRM, which is a customer relationship manager. And it just manages my life for me. Anybody who matters to me, anybody who's important to me is in that CRM. My friends, my family, my mom is in there. It reminds me to call my mom once every 2 weeks, you know? So if without that, I think I just get too lost in the shuffle. So ActiveCampaign is the number one tool that I use.
That's awesome. Any advice for beginner investors?
Yeah, if you're just starting out in this space, you know, there's so much like we were just talking about, the shiny object syndrome. There's so many exciting things about real estate that it could be hard. You could get paralyzed. I'd say pick a niche that you really, really like and dive into it deep. Dive into it deep, whether you're going to GP it, LP it, be a, you know, like active or passive investor. Dive in deep, because if you never dive in deep, you're just going to get overwhelmed by all the options out there. So dive into that one niche deeply and then start growing from there, but really pick one and focus there for now.
How do you give back?
Yeah, so I'm really, really big on hunger as the charities that we like. So hunger, especially in relation to kids, I really believe that, you know, kids are not, they don't have much runway to alter their lives. They're kind of born into certain circumstances. And, you know, I think if you have the money, you have the time, you know, donate to food drives, donate to shelters. Anytime I see a food drive going on, you know, I'm always very excited for that. And that's something tangible that I can really buy and directly hand to somebody and impact their day and then the rest of their lives. So that's a big cause that I'm passionate about personally, hunger, especially if it's related to kids.
That's amazing. How can my listeners reach out to you?
Yeah. So if you want to reach out to us, you know, you can go to our website. Our company is called Realm Investors. So the website is arealminvestor.com. So R-E-A-L-M investor.com. And there's just a at the beginning of it. So check out our website and I'm sure, you know, you'll put it in the show notes. So just click on that. You'll go to our website. You can contact us. You can reach out to me. Anything, like I said, I love talking real estate. You can check out our podcast. It's Passive Real Estate Strategies. If you do like to LP and things, but those are good. Those are two of the best resources that I got for you.
Thank you so much, Justin, for your time today, man. I had fun.
Yeah, this has been fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Matters podcast. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes so others can enjoy the show too. Have a great week and happy investing.